stack really positive habits that allow me to keep the level of fitness and health that I want.
Hello, welcome to the D8 Training Podcast, your guide to training and vitality. We cover lots of topics such as nutrition, workout tips, mindset, and so much more. I'm Anne-Marie Antic, your host. Today, I'm super excited to have on our first show, head trainer and founder of D8 Training, Nevin Antic, who also just happens to be my husband. Hi, Nevin. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Anne-Marie.
Firstly, I want to say I'm inspired by the incredible community you've created. To me, the members of D8 are like family. I call them my D8 family.
I couldn't agree more with you there. I think it's grown to be a lot bigger than I really expected it to be.
You've done an amazing job with that. But let's get down to business. I have so many questions to ask you. Are you ready?
Of course. Let's go. Fire away. I love it. Straight to business.
All right. 2.5 years ago, you quit your corporate job as head of operations and opened the doors to D8 Training. What inspired you to open D8 Training and quit your day job as head of operations?
And you know this, I've always loved fitness since you've probably known me. I've always been in the gym, always enjoyed fitness, and it was always a part of my life. But when we decided to move to Adelaide, I knew it was time to take this full time and really try to take it to the next level. So in those early days, you know, we planned out in terms of what we wanted to do, in terms of what we wanted the gym to look like. And then it was just a matter of taking small actions every day to make sure that it was ready to go. In hindsight, you know, if you had asked me, I guess, you know, what my two key lessons learned from those early days and what allowed us to grow and get to the point where we are today probably came down to two key things that kind of stand out to me in my mind. The first was the old philosophy, I guess, of, you know, burning the boats. So we really didn't give ourselves another option. And at the time, you know, we thought about potentially me doing some part-time work in IT, which was obviously where my background was, and then doing the gym part-time and kind of opening up slowly. But after we thought about that, we just decided and we just agreed, hey, let's just go all in, you know, burn the boats, go all in, and let's give it 6 months and see where we could take it. And then the second thing was we did the worst case, best case scenario. And it was actually something that you said that sparked it. We thought about the worst case scenario and you said it to me jokingly one night and it really stood, you know, resonated with me. You said, well, what's the worst thing that happens? You know, you'll have an amazing gym that you can use if no one, you know, if it doesn't work out, you'll have a gym and you'll be able to use it. And we both know that I would use it. So that kind of put me at ease. And then I thought, well, what's the best case scenario? The best case scenario is, you know, we build the business up where hopefully in a couple of years we're at a point where we can outgrow the current space and then we can move to a bigger space.
I'm glad something that I said had an impact on you and you listened.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Maybe I should do it more often.
Yeah, I agree. So where did the name D8 come from?
I think at the time when I came into this, my background was more around athletic development. I really wanted to help young athletes. And for me, I always liked the aspect of when you go onto that field or onto that pitch that you want to dominate. And I kind of looked at D8 as a shortened version of that because I didn't necessarily want to dominate in the name of the business. So I thought, hey, how can I shorten this? The name just kind of sounded cool to me. And it was quite easy to get a business name set up and no one else had that name. So one thing led to another. And before I knew it, it kind of came to D8. So
I think it's a great choice. If you look at it, D8 stands for date.
It's interesting you say that because I remember it was probably about 2 months into the business. A client actually said to me, hey, do you know that D8 stands for date? I thought, hold on a second, it actually does. And I didn't really know what to respond. And then I kind of just let that sink in for a little bit. And then I realized the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. So I thought if it's any way to, you know, associate it with training, then fantastic. So if you want to come and think of yourself as, hey, I've got a date with training, then by all means, you know, come on down. So for me, it was just a little bit of a fun of wording of in terms of the name.
D8's your date. You can use it as your tagline.
There you go.
Well, let's move on to food and consistency and you and your training. So I've known you for over 22 years. And during that time, I can vouch for that you've always eaten fairly well. You've trained consistently. You've looked after yourself and your body. However, I know that you like to indulge occasionally as well. However, as time has progressed, you do improve and have improved. You're a constant learner, and this is probably the best that you've looked since we've been together, though you looked good when we first got together as well. How have you gone over all these years maintaining on a consistent basis?
When you look at someone that is successful in what they do and they've put a lot of effort into that, it's usually not just one thing. In saying that, I guess, if I had to put it into one area where I felt like it's had a lot of success for me, was that I think I was able to stack really positive habits that allow me to keep the level of fitness and health that I want. for everybody, that level of health and fitness is different for everyone. So for me, over the years, I've added more and more habits that I'll say are almost now on autopilot that serve me to be in the shape that I want to be in.
So if you miss a training session or you don't train for a period of time, how do you feel? How do you get back into it?
To me, it's almost like I'm missing something because I'm so used to it and I've been doing it for such a long time now that it's instilled as a normal habit for me. So if I miss a training session, I'm edging up because I want to get into the gym. I want to get back into it. So for me, it's like it's something that's missing inside of me almost. And I look for ways to kind of fulfill that.
So it's become a part of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing we've often spoken about is you cannot out-train a bad diet. It's from my personal experience. I was training 4 or 5 times a week. I was going for a walk almost every night, plus runs 2 to 3 times a week on top of that. But my food choices were very poor. So regardless of that, I was still putting on some weight. As we've spoken about, you're very disciplined, especially when it comes to your food. How do you see food?
Most of the time, and I'll make that caveat, most of the time I look at food as a fuel and a way to kind of fuel my body to ensure that I have great energy for all the activities that I want to undertake. So not just my physical training that I do in the gym, but also being able to withstand the whole day on the gym floor. That way I can have the same level of energy for my late evening clients, just like I do for my early morning clients. And in addition to that, for my family life too, to be able to go and play with my kids as well. And, you know, like I said, most of the time, so don't get me wrong, I still like to, you know, indulge and I think food is there to be enjoyed. But when I do so consciously and understanding that it may not be the best thing for me in that moment or for my body or for my body composition, but I do that because I want to share that experience with the people that I'm with.
I did see some ice cream hiding in the freezer.
Yeah, that may have been me. That may have been me.
Well, thanks for hiding it because, you know, I'm trying to avoid those foods at the moment. And I think something else you've always told me about my food, especially when I haven't been as disciplined as I could be, is to keep it simple and to repeat food a lot. Can you elaborate on this?
And that's right. And what I tend to do, especially if I'm trying to lean out, because if I'm being a bit more strict in terms of what I eat, I tend to eat similar foods most of the time. The main reason for that is, one, it's simple. And two, I get a really good understanding of how much total food I'm taking. And as a byproduct of that, how many calories I'm having a day. If you have a look at a lot of the research, 50% of your body composition goals will be achieved by hitting the right amount of calories per day. So if you can nail that in terms of hitting the right amount of calories and what your needs are for your body, you'll be 50% of the way there. And then the other 50 is a little bit more complex, but that's the simple terminology. And that's why people do it. And that's why I do it as well. So, and this is one of the reasons why meal prepping services have become so popular recently, because you get an exact understanding of how much food you're taking. So it makes it really easy for you to plan out your day and how much food you can eat. There's quite a few companies out there that do that. I think YouFoods was one of the first. They're probably the most popular, but more since then, quite a few have come out. And I actually like MyMuscleChef. I think they're a really good service because their macronutrients are a little bit more aimed at people that are a little bit more fitness-based, and they've also got much nicer meals as well and recipes at the moment.
So meal prepping companies, is that where the food comes to you cooked and you just put it into the oven?
Correct, yeah, you just warm it up. So some of them are warmed up, others can be cooked as well. And there's other services as well, like So Fresh, where you have to actually put the ingredients together and obviously cook it. These particular ones, the meals are all cooked, ready to go. You just need to reheat them and it's ready to go. And they can last for, you know, a week or two at a time.
Now that sounds great.
Yeah.
Like, I know something that we do is we plan out a week in advance, but we know every night what sort of meat that we'll be eating. So we have Monday night lambs, Tuesday chicken, Wednesday and Thursday's mince. So that's another great option to do. So then when you do come home from work and whether you're tired, you're like, right, I already know what I'm doing, which makes it easier.
100%. And if you look at the pricing per meal, quite often it's a lot cheaper than getting takeaway. So if you're not a really good planner, if you're not able to be diligent with your food, this is a great option for you that you might be able to, even if you get a couple of meals per day from them as a backup. You know, when you come home, you've got something you can cook quite easily. Or the other alternative is, and a lot of people do, is they'll do meal prepping where they cook the food themselves. So they'll do a big batch of cooking, whether it's on a Sunday or a Wednesday, however they split it up. And then they've got food for quite several days. So it makes it easy for them because they've got food ready to go. They don't have to worry about what am I going to cook today.
Great. Thanks for the advice. So continuing on with food, tell us about a day of Nevin. How do you eat?
Ultimately, I eat very similar foods regardless of the period that I'm in. But I'll generally go through 3 different periods, as do most people kind of in the fitness industry. The first one is if I'm looking to lean out. So obviously I'm trying to eat less calories than my body requires per day. If I'm looking to add muscle, then I'll eat a little calorie surplus. Or if I'm just maintaining, that might be because I've had enough of, you know, leaning out or adding muscle and I'm happy with the condition that I'm in, or it might just be a really busy period for me and I realize I don't have the time to focus on that. But in general, a lot of my staple foods tend to stay the same, and I'll give you a bit of an example on a few of those. So breakfast for me generally is, I like to start off with some form of a high protein type meal. And most of the time for me, it'll be something like eggs and beef, or it could be eggs and some other meat. I generally, most of the time, probably 90% of the time, will be beef and eggs because I just love the taste of it. And then if I'm looking to add muscle, as an example, I'll add in some additional carbs. This could be from fruit or even some toast, as an example. My workouts tend to occur anywhere between 11 and 1 o'clock, depending on my time on the floor. So I generally won't eat before that. After my workout, if I worked out that day, I'll have what's called like a post-workout meal. And that's going to be some variation of, you know, lots of fruit, kefir, honey, and a scoop of protein with that. And it could be whey protein isolate, or it could be collagen, depending on what I'm feeling like on the day. Following on from that, I'll probably have like a late lunch, which will again be some form of a meat. Again, could be beef again, could be chicken, could be eggs. And then what I like to have on the side is, I tend to have this throughout the phase that I'm in, I tend to have pumpkin. One, I enjoy the taste of pumpkin. And two, it's a great low calorie food. So especially in a fat loss phase, it gives me that little bit more volume, that little bit more bulk. So it makes the meal feel larger than what it is from a calorie standpoint as well. And again, if I'm adding, if I'm looking to add muscle, I might add some sweet potatoes or rice for my extra carbohydrate source as well. And then late evening, you know, I'll generally have whatever we have for the night. And for us, it's usually, you know, either like a Mexican type meal with chicken or beef. It could be a roast, again, it could be lamb. And then usually, you know, or even fish as well. That's a bit of a staple for us. And then on the side, we'll most of the time have like potato or veg or a salad. So that's kind of it. And then if I do have treats, for me, with my structure and my day, the way my day flows, usually I'll have my treats late at night just because it works for me. I finished for the day in terms of the gym floor. I can relax. I can enjoy that treat, whatever it is that I'm having. In an ideal world, I'd probably be best off having that as a post-workout afterwards, but it doesn't work well for me. So this is where it's important to find what works for you, whether it's from a diet perspective or a training perspective, because each one of us is unique, and we have certain things depending on our lifestyle to do that best.
So what's your favorite food?
My favorite, so many choices to pick from. And to be honest, a staple is beef, because I love beef. You know, if I had to pick a healthy food, it'd probably be beef. So if you ask me what my healthy food is, I would probably say beef and eggs.
Well, let's move on to your training. What age did you start training, and how did you get into training?
I think I was about 15 or 16. And I remember at the time, my brother was about 7 years older than me. And he just said, hey, come on, Nev, let's go. We're going to go to the gym. And I kind of knew a little bit about the gym, but didn't really know too much. It's not like we had, you know, mainstream social media back then. We went into the gym, and I didn't really have much of an idea what I was doing. And to be fair, my brother didn't either. You know, we didn't have as much information as we do now. Most of his training was about looking good as opposed to performance training, where that was what my passion was. I wanted it to help me with my soccer. So in the early days, I mostly did upper body lifting. And when I did lower body, definitely wasn't full range of motion. And most of my lifts were, I'll say, ego-based and trying to lift as much weight as possible, as opposed to making sure that I was working through a full range of motion, making sure that I was controlling the tempo and all the things that I kind of, I guess, I cue our clients on now.
Were you one of the ones that used to look at themselves in the mirror as you were doing like bicep curls?
I'll say I can't remember that far ago, but yes, it was probably me as well. So hence one of the reasons we don't have mirrors in the gym now.
I guess let's talk about kids and weights and training. You've got the junior gym program, which is growing and becoming a lot more popular. And you have kids lifting weights here. And it's amazing how quickly they improve and their confidence grows just watching them do the chin-ups or increase the weight that they hold. However, it's been said that resistance training, weight training for kids stunts their growth. Is it safe for kids to train weights?
The simple answer, in my opinion anyway, is yes. So during my research into this, you know, I found quite a few well-published studies. One in particular that really stood out to me was from 2008, and it looked at a large amount of kids. And basically the focus of that was, it looked at the effects of strength training on young kids and the impact that it had on their potential growth. Just to break it down, so what parents are usually worried about is that strength or weight training will affect the child's growth plate, which in turn will stunt their growth. So this particular study looked at this in detail. And for the listeners that may not be aware, a growth plate is the area of tissue near the ends of long bones in children and teens that determine the future length and shape of that mature bone. So in this study, what they concluded is that appropriate strength training programs have no negative effects on linear growth plates. And since then, you know, several studies have looked at strength training in young teens, and generally all the studies have the same, you know, or similar recommendations. And those recommendations are that supervised weightlifting training and strength training can substantially reduce the potential injuries from other activities and sports and enhance health-related outcomes and potentially the longevity in their sport as well.
And I guess, how do you see that weight training complements a child's sport? Because if we look at it now, someone's be a professional in soccer, or be a professional in basketball, football, netball, whatever their field is, often they'll just go train more in that field. How do you see weight training?
I look at it as a way to a lot of times balance kids out, because you're right, and especially here in Australia, we tend to over specialize very young, in my opinion. So we'll get a lot of kids from, you know, from 10, 11, 12, 13 and onwards, and they're already really specializing in their sport. So usually what that means is they're not playing any other sports. They might be specializing, it could be basketball or it could be soccer. They tend to be the two of the ones. And those kids are playing that same sport all year round. Most of the time they're training 2 to 3 times a week with their own teams, and they've got a game on the weekend, then they might be playing for a second team, or they might be doing some sort of academy program. So it ends up being about 5 to 6 of the similar movement type of activities that they're doing each week. So what that means is, over the long term, yes, it's great because they're getting a lot of exposure and they're working on their skills. One of the negatives that we tend to see quite often is that they're creating overuse injuries because they're doing similar patterns all the time. Because soccer is played a certain way, it's different than when you play basketball, when you play soccer or football, or if you're doing swimming as an example. So what we're ultimately trying to do is balance those kids out so that they're not doing much more of those repetitive tasks. And in the gym, we're actually trying to slow them down. You know, most sports are really fast. And what we do here is we focus on slow, controlled movements, technique first. So that way, when the kids are in here, we're actually building up their bodies almost be more resilient. So when they go back and play their sport, they can actually play more of it, because now all of a sudden their muscles and their tendons and ligaments are absorbing a little bit more of that force that they're being applied to on the sports field, as opposed to their joints and tendons being overloaded from all the movements that they're doing.
Is there a particular age that kids should start?
No, I think, you know, if it really depends on the child and a little bit around, one, their maturity, but also their desire to train. We've had kids train as early as, you know, as 6 or 7 in here. While most of our classes really start from 10 and 11 onwards, there's nothing wrong with a young kid doing some form of, we'll say, strength training at an age-appropriate level. And that's the key again. It's making sure that that exercise is age-appropriate for that particular individual.
Let's talk about adults after the age of 30, which I fall into that category. So I've heard that once you turn 30, muscle mass decreases about 3 to 8% every decade. That decline accelerates further after the age of 60. So why is building muscles important, and why do you recommend weights?
Exactly right. So based on the research, you know, starting at age 40, we lose approximately 1% of our muscle mass every year, and it starts to double at age 60. Two key recommendations from me are, one is get your strength training in, get your resistance training in. Things like walking and jogging, unfortunately, don't give us that output. So it's really important that we include some form of strength or resistance training in. And anywhere, interestingly enough, if you look at the research, it actually, from a rep range, anywhere from 5 to 30 reps is actually really good. It's really good for promoting for muscle. Anything lower, it's a little bit more CNS intensive. So it's a lot more impact on the body. And it's also a high likelihood of injury, which is why we tend to stay, you know, usually with the adult classes from 6 and upwards, and sometimes we'll go up as high as 20. Occasionally, we might even go a little bit higher than that. So that's the recommendation number one, is get your strength training in. 2 to 3 times a week is great if you haven't done much. 3 to 4 is obviously going to get you a better result than 2 to 3. And second of all is, when you're eating, ensure that you're focusing on, and basically in a way almost, the first thing to eat on your food plate is protein. And I got this particular suggestion, recommendation from a lady named JJ Virgin. She's quite a big influencer online. And I think she's fantastic when it comes not just women's health, but even kids' health and even men's health to an extent as well. Everyone who's strength training and who wants to maintain or grow their muscle mass should be aiming to get somewhere between 1.5 to 2 grams per kilogram of body weight. So as an example, and this also includes kids. So as an example, if you have an individual and they're 60 kilos, they should be striving to get between 90 and 120 grams of protein per day. So that's actually protein from, you know, various sources. And then tip number 3 would probably be prioritizing sleep, but I think everybody already knows that one. The key is actually applying it and making sure you're getting the sleep, rather than just knowing, okay, I need to get my 8 hours a day.
So that's great. So to summarize that, you've really got 3 key items: strength training at least 2 to 3 times a week, more if you can. Eat your protein first, between 1.5 to 2 kilogram, 2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, and 3, sleep.
Yeah, correct. And obviously with that, you know, you want to break up those protein needs across the day. So if you're eating 3 meals, well, how can I break that up? If you're on the higher end, then you need 120 grams of protein, that's 40 grams of protein per meal, which most people aren't getting close to. So if you think about a typical breakfast, it's challenging to get 40 grams of protein in. You need to come up with ways, well, how do I plan for that? How do I have that ready? Because most people will have toast and Vegemite and butter. And if you think about that, it's got hardly any protein in there at all. You want to find ways to bolster that up and then get your day started with protein.
What do you recommend?
Well, something I've seen you have multiple times and I think is a really easy option if you don't want to go down the path of cooking eggs as an example, which eggs are fantastic. I think that's a really good way of doing it. But a simple variation could be a loaded smoothie. I've seen you have this. I've seen you give that to the kids. It's as simple as having a piece of fruit. You can either put water or milk, depending on what your calorie needs are, depending on the day. If you're giving it to kids, obviously they'll probably enjoy the milk component. And then adding some protein powder in there. And protein powder, if you get a nice, clean protein powder sauce, it's very healthy for kids. So it's something that can be added to their smoothie to give them a little bit of extra protein to kickstart their day. And then all of a sudden, they've had a piece of fruit. They've had milk, which is going to contain some extra calories from carbohydrates and protein and fats. And then all of a sudden you've given some extra protein as well. They've started the day off really well. And that's going to be a lot more nutritious than them having Weet-Bix or toast.
As you mentioned, I do have a protein smoothie every morning and I make one for the kids and I cook the kids some French toast or eggs as well for the extra protein. And I do notice the times when we might not have it in the morning that their attention span isn't as good as it is once they have protein and they get hungry a lot quicker. So do I. My protein smoothie can hold me out up until lunchtime. Well, I live with you and I've gotten so much value. I've been taking notes as we've... Thank you. I'm so grateful you were able to join and I'm sure everyone else has found this as valuable as I have. They'll probably be sharing this around with all their family and friends in hope to help them. Would you come back on again so we can delve into a bit more detail?
Of course. And you've seen me out on the gym floor, even in the house. I love talking about fitness, health and training. So anytime, and if the obviously the listeners and the members find value from this, more than happy to talk about specific topics that they may have some interest in. So I would definitely love to be back on.
Well, if anyone does have any questions they want Nevin to answer, just send us through a DM on Instagram or Facebook or just ask us on the gym floor and I'll write it down. But before we go, I do have two questions. The first one, what is one habit that someone can start today to make a positive impact on their training or vitality?
Well, I think obviously the space that we're in, if you're not already doing strength training or resistance training, get in the gym. I think that's step number one, get in the gym, because a lot of times what we tend to find is that's the kickstarter to then following through with your diet, following through with taking some extra walking, following through with making sure that you're not eating junk food, because it's very rare that you'll go out and do a really hard workout and then come home and then eat a whole bunch of junk food because you don't want to add to all the good work you've just done. That usually would be my recommendation, but I'm hoping that most of the listeners here are already in that space. And if you're not, and if you're in the area and you want to know a little bit more about what we do, reach out. We can obviously have a bit of a chat to see if we can help and if we're a good fit for you.
What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
We have a website. I'm sure they can reach out. They can pick up the phone call. So there's plenty of channels for that.
What is it? datraining.com.au?
That's right. But probably the main habit that I would recommend to most people is, and we've spoken about it just before, is if you're not getting enough of your daily adequate amounts of protein, I recommend starting with that. Try to hit you that, 1.5 to 2 grams of protein that we spoke about. I think it's a massive difference to your body composition, so the way you look, but also if you're already strength training, it's going to help with recovery and it's also going to help with building muscle, which most of us and most of our clientele need. We want to build and maintain as much of our muscle mass as we can.
And lucky last question, what does dominate mean to you?
Like I mentioned before, when I came up with the name, dominate for me was dominating in the sports field. But I've also I've looked at it over the years and I thought, hey, that's a great way of thinking about any parts of your life. So if you look at your life, obviously there's different areas of your life. And if I'm dominating right now with my fitness, well, what about other parts of my life? Am I dominating as being the best dad that I can be? Am I dominating being the best father that I can be? Look for ways, because most of us do things really well in a certain part of our lives. We may be really good at business, but maybe we'll let our health go. So maybe now it's an opportunity, hey, I want to really dominate in my health as an example. Really nail down, focus the next 3 months on putting in some really good habits and starting to dominate in that space, just like you do with your business.
Dominate being a good husband or best husband.
Exactly.
You do a very good job. Well, thanks again. I got so much value there. I liked at the start how you spoke about burning the boats and then using food as fuel and then to do that by stacking the positive habits and, of course, the most important, eating protein first. I look forward to having you on at our next show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Till next time, dominate your life.